always cheerful. Alright, we're going to continue with the part of the course that's talking about what it says. And it's in the preface, if you have the newer editions. It's on Roman numeral 11, which looks like a little X and a little I.
Can I interrupt you, Mr. Chair? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And to help us tune in, I'm going to read something to you. Now, when I start reading it at first, you may not hear it at all. And then as I continue to read, you might find yourself beginning to hear it. That's the way it is with the Course in Miracles. It's almost like submerging yourself into a thought. I'd like for you to think about your past week, since the last time I saw you. And I'm going to read this in a way that is getting you to look at your past week. Okay? The world you saw last week just reflected your own internal frame of reference. The world you saw last week was a reflection of your own dominant ideas and wishes and emotions. The world you had last week was a projection that you made up. And what happened last week, that was before the week started, you looked inside yourself, decided first the kind of week you wanted to see, and then you projected the kind of week you really believe you deserved outside. And so you made the kind of week you believe you deserve happen the way you saw it. You made the world that you experienced last week, everything you went through last week, he says, you made it true by your interpretation of what it is that you were looking at last week. So last week is just your interpretation of what happened to you last week. The way you feel about last week is just your interpretation of what happened last week. And it's on Roman numeral 11. It's the little X and the little I in the preface. If you have an older book, you gotta look.
It says what it says.
Yeah, it's called what it says, yeah. The first books don't have it, yeah.
Yeah, to the
front. It says what it says. Okay. So if you want to use the world that you experienced last week as a perception to justify your own mistakes, then you're going to be angry about last week. You're going to feel some impulses to attack about last week. You're going to feel like last week didn't give you some love. And then you see last week as evil, destructive, full of malice and envy and despair, because you're using your perception of last week to justify your own mistakes. And you made some mistakes last week if all you experienced last week was what you see as anger, attack, and despair. So if you feel like you have a lot of despair or anger or upset about last week, then you're using what happened to you last week to justify your own mistakes in perception and belief and consciousness. I didn't choose to use the truth last week, so I had a week last week that really wasn't really that great. And I'm going to use the things that happened to me last week to justify the way that I feel. So, we must learn to forgive last week and all the people that were in it. Not because we're trying to be good, because we know that don't work. And not because we're trying to be charitable. I'm so spiritual, I'm going to try to overlook and forgive everybody and everything they did to me last week. He says, I'm going to overlook what I think happened to me last week because I realized that what happened to me last week wasn't really true. What I'm looking at last week was my own distorted world. In other words, I'm upset because last week just represented all of my twisted defenses. I'm upset. Whatever I'm upset about last week, that situation just represented one of my twisted defenses that I used to justify still keeping myself upset. Because I can't be upset about nothing. So I've got to have something to be upset about. So if I've gotten in the habit of being upset, then I've got to constantly see things in such a way that I feel upset so I can be justified in my feeling upset. I mean, who wants to be upset about nothing? So as long as you want to be upset, and so that you won't think you're crazy, you'll create things to be upset about to justify your feeling upset. Because it doesn't make sense to just be feeling bad for no reason at all. which begins to happen as you progress on the spiritual path. Because what happens in the very beginning is that it looks like there's a lot of things on the outside that's upsetting you when you first get on the spiritual path, and you want to change your mind so that you want to change your life so you can get rid of all that stuff out there that's upsetting you. Then the next stage, you realize you start working on it, and actually much to your surprise, most of it starts to fade away, and all that stuff you used to get upset about really isn't there anymore. But you find out the most startling, upsetting realization, which is you're still upset. Nobody's messing with you. Everything's pretty peaceful, but you're still not happy. And it freaks you out, because in the past, at least you had somebody you could have projected on was making you unhappy. Or you could have said, it was my job. But now all of a sudden, you're doing what you want to do. And then you have, it's like everything seems like it's peaceful, but I'm still not happy. Right? So then that's when you really go to a really powerful level of consciousness, when you realize that it must be something inside your own mind that's keeping you from being unhappy, and it must not have anything to do with anybody on the outside. That's a major breakthrough in consciousness. Then you find it's been you doing it to you, and you're tempted to fall into deep states of depression. Because the minute you realize that you're doing it to yourself, that's a very depressing thought. At least you was feeling bad before, but you had some satisfaction from believing somebody else was causing it.
Yeah.
So you was feeling bad, but at least it had a little perk. Then all of a sudden you realize everything is pretty cool, but I'm still wearing, upset, and everything. You know what I'm saying? But we don't realize that the wearing, the upset is like the charcoal you put on the fire of your ego. So for your fear to survive, you got to have something you're upset about all the time. So you tell yourself stuff that makes you feel afraid to keep your fear going. Because without your fear, you might mess around in love. And we know how love screws us up. That's when I'm most vulnerable. That's when it seems like the people that I love seem like they've been the main ones who thrust that dagger in the center of my heart. I don't know about you. It wasn't the guy up there cold fast at the bus stop that hurt me. It was that person I thought I loved. It's not the strangers that do it. I'm cool with the strangers. The strangers cool. The strangers don't mess with me. Strangers don't really mess with you. It's the people you know that's giving you a hard time. Isn't that really mysterious? And then you get to the level you realize it's the dominant ideas you have about the people that you know that's making you upset. But then you go, well, how do I get rid of those ideas? Then you find out how attached you are to those ideas. Not only are you attached to those ideas are who you think you are. You are, when you tell me who you are, all you're describing to me is a memory that you're having about yourself. I said, tell me about yourself. You just gonna whip a picture together for me out of all the stuff that's happened to you to give me your latest version of who you think you are.
I like that word, latest version.
Yeah. That's all you're gonna meet with anybody. You're just gonna meet their latest version of who they think they are based on what they've experienced in the past and what they believe, which might not even be true. So we always meet in illusions. That's deep. Anyway. So the Course says, as we learn to recognize our perceptual error, we will also learn to look past our perceptual errors about last week, and then we're going to forgive last week, because at the same time we were forgiven last week, we also forgiven ourselves. Now, here is a great definition of forgiving yourself. Forgiving yourself is to look past your own distorted concepts of yourself. When you look past your own distorted concepts of yourself, you have forgiven yourself. In other words, let's say I have a distorted concept of myself that I'm real selfish. But when I learn how to look past that concept of myself, that's me forgiving myself. To know that who I am for real is not selfish. What I am for real is not selfish. It's what gets me past the idea that I'm selfish. The way you get past the obstacle is to join with the thing that's beyond it. You got to want something so bad that it'll take you past anything that would stop you. Yeah. Yeah, come on in. And I'll leave the door open so some air will circulate. I didn't have my glasses on. I didn't even know it was you. Okay. Now, this is deep. I'll say it again. Let's say you have a perception of yourself as being insecure, no good, and your breath isn't particularly fresh. Okay. Now, you got to learn how to look past that idea about yourself to the real you. And the course says we've forgotten who the real us is. That's the problem. We're getting to my real self. It's really a grand experiment. I'm always trying to find out what that is. But the course says you do have a self that's beyond your images that you're making up about yourself.
Thank you.
And that's your real self. And that self never changes. It's always love. 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 It's always free. It's always love. It's always abundant. It's always love. It's always peaceful. It's always cool. There's a part of you that is totally undisturbed by everything you're upset about and forever will be. Does not get involved. Does not enroll. Does not invest in nothing that you're using to make yourself upset about. Because it's so certain in what it is that it doesn't question anything. And the Course is trying to allow us to get to that part of us, but in order to get to that part of us, I've got to be willing to look past my distorted concepts of myself that I've learned. Like, because I'm a black dude, I can't make it in America. See, that's a distorted concept of myself, that if I use that concept, then I'm going to see that. So I got to go beyond that concept by realizing I'm not a black dude in America. I'm a holy child of God. I'm an infinite being of infinite love. I am spirit playing the role of Earl Purdy Black Guy. And I'm really having a lot more fun with Earl Purdy Black Guy since I know I'm not Earl Purdy Black Guy. It's amazing. I'm having so much more fun with being a man knowing that I'm not one. Because then I don't have to be a man all the time, and I can take my man ego off and put it up in the closet like I do my shirt and just cool out and be me. So then I don't have to live up to any of the crazy concepts of what it means to be a man. I don't have to live up to none of the crazy concepts of what it means to be a woman or the cool concepts about what it means to be a man or woman, because my identity is not identified with either one of them. I am not the role I'm playing in the play when I'm an actor. I got to always remember, when I was doing the play, I had to always remember I was still Earl, even though I was playing the part of this drunk dude in the play I was doing. If I had to walk out the play still thinking I was him, I'd be screwed up. You know what I'm saying? You got to remember that you're not the role you're playing, and learn how to put your role down for a minute so you can rest. And then the next time it's time for your next scene, you got some energy to give somebody. But you can't be nobody all the time. You can't be no woman or man all the time. You can't be no mama, father, sister, brother, employee, servant all the time. You got to take a break. So taking a break is learning how to look past all these concepts you have of yourself to the truth of who you really are. Does that make sense to everybody?
Absolutely.
You know, I have to check in with you, because I see strange expressions on people's faces when I be teaching. So I'm telling you, I have to check in and make sure you're with me. Yeah, that's what the Course in Miracles is. Even if you don't like it, at least you won't have a dull time. You know, it's like the concepts will upset you. The Course in Miracles is guaranteed to have something that offends everybody.
Yeah,
something you're going to hear you ain't going to like. I guarantee you. No matter how much you think you're in love with it, some of the ladies gonna get caught. It's gonna hit your sacred cow. It's gonna hit the thing that you use the most to make yourself feel like you're who you really are. The Course calls it your idol, your most cherished beliefs. And so when someone hits one of those, then you immediately feel like you've been attacked.
This is my third book. I've earned the other two.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Don't they make man? You put some marshmallows. I had a mini course bonfire with my students. That stood around the fire and watch it burn up, okay? They put a little marshmallows on there, okay? You know, sometimes you have to do stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. I've done crazy stuff since I've been teaching. Okay. That's okay. Now we're going to go to the next paragraph, and this is really cool. It says that sin is defined as a lack of love, but since all there really is love. Then when you have, the Course says, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, when you have your right mind, the Course calls the Holy Spirit the right mind. It's like I love about studying this 25 years is that I love to get a chance to share with people the Course definitions and stuff instead of the ones we learned. Like the Course in Miracles definition of your Holy Spirit is your sane mind. That your sane mind is the Holy Spirit. And that a sane mind recognizes a lack of love as a mistake that needs to be corrected rather than an evil that needs to be punished. So somebody that loves me, when I make a mistake, instead of wanting to punish me for it, they're going to want to correct me. So a mind that is sane corrects error. A mind that's insane punishes error. Now, he says, the reason why most people feel inadequate and weak and incomplete is coming from us having a really strong investment in the scarcity principle. So the reason why a person feels weak and inadequate is that they believe that there's some kind of a lack. There's some kind of a lack. So if you, wherever you feel weak in your life right now, that's where you feel a sense of inadequacy and lack. So wherever you feel the weakest is where you're most invested in the idea of lack. All right, and the Course calls that the scarcity principle. So, and he says that the world, he says what governs a whole world of fear, what governs this whole world of fear, or this whole perception of fear, you with me?
Mm-hmm.
When the Course says that, talks about the world, it's talking about the perception that you have. The perception that you have is your world. So it's telling us that if you're looking at a world of fear, then you're looking at a world where most of the minds in that world are invested in the principle of scarcity. They believe there's not enough. Okay. And since the people in this world who are afraid believe there is not enough, then they go around trying to get from other people and things outside of themselves what's missing, because if something's missing, common sense says I need to get my butt out there and find it. So you got a bunch of people walking around looking for something that's missing in themselves and everybody else when they're afraid, when they think they're separate. So, when you walk out the door and you meet a person that's insecure or feels weak or feels inadequate or feels afraid or feels angry, then you know you're with a person and you know you're with a man that is looking for something outside of themselves to give them what is missing. And if it looks like you can give it to them, then they're attracted to you. And that's why they were attracted to you as opposed to anybody else in the room. Because you seem like you're the most likely candidate to feel the lack that's missing, whatever that lack is. That's why they asked for your phone number. Honey, I need you to take care of a little lack that's going on in my life. Would you give me your phone number? And if she looks back at you and says, doggone right, because I got a lack I've been trying to get rid of just as long as you. Okay? Then you say, this is holy talk, man. Don't need to be. It's just holy. Y'all know this is. Then you said you met somebody, y'all were mutually attracted to each other, and it was really a cool hookup. But when someone sees you as a person to fulfill their need, but you don't see them as a person to fulfill your need, then those are the people that lead to the restraining orders. Okay, we just want to get clear about how this operates.
Work together.
You want somebody that's the same level of fear as yourself, if all possible. Because if you're not hooking up with a person that's just as insecure as you, it increases each other's insecurity by feeling inadequate in the presence of each other, because one seems to be so much more together than the other one is. But if both of y'all messed up equally, you have more compassion for each other. I mean, that's the truth.
Oh.
Everybody, like, people, like, you know, it's like, I wanna hook up with Jesus. Could you imagine how inadequate you feel in the presence of somebody that could feed 5,000 or whatever people with a loaf of bread? Or somebody could nail nails in their hands and they go, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you can't forgive a person for taking your parking space. You would feel so inadequate in the presence of Jesus. So, you know, isn't it the truth? Think about it. And I said this in many classes, and I'm going to say it one more time, and I'm going to go on further in this, because anything I say after a certain point becomes a way to keep me from saying more of this. But most people put down on their wish list the kind of person that they want to have. Mm-hmm. Person that's totally spiritual, loves unconditionally, knows how to give freedom, totally abundant, totally rich, got the right size butt. You know, you covered everything. You know what I'm saying? How do you want to look physically? And then your head just got to be together, and they got to be driving, you know, the most expensive car, got to have this coat. And Spirit always would tell me when I would do that, would ask me, say, Earl, Would a person like that want you? Why would a person that together want you? Because I'm cute. or he might get my body. Or she might get my body. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's funny. It's like, what you bring to the table? You want a person like that, what you bring to the table? Because a person like that is not on the lookout for a person who's dysfunctional. A person that loves themselves is looking out for somebody else who loves themselves too, because they know that's the easiest kind of person to have a relationship with, is the person that feels good inside, because that's the kind of person that's not always trying to control you or make demands of you and really respects your freedom and who you are. And it's really easy to get along with, because they pretty much take responsibility for what they're experiencing, because they have been in touch with their power. So it's real easy to be in a relationship with a person that's conscious. The problem and the challenge comes from being in a relationship with someone as unconscious as yourself.
Yeah.
Because even though that'd be the easiest one to be in a relationship with.
Why it lasted 20 years.
Yeah, really. And because those are people who have compassion for each other, because they see that they are the same. They're trying to learn the same lessons. They're trying to learn how to be more loving. They're trying to learn how to be more understanding. So when one makes a mistake, the other one goes, you know, I'm not perfect either. I don't know how to forgive. I make mistakes sometimes too. So when you make a mistake, I won't crucify you for it, because, you know, I make one too. See, them couples like that, and friends like that, they'll last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because they already know they don't know how to do it, but they want to learn how to do it together so they can forgive each other when they make mistakes along the way. But if you expect, you tell each other, I'm never going to hurt each other, and you're going to always be acting great and wonderful and loving and kind all the time, then the first time you lose your temper because you know you can't do it, and you do get upset, they feel betrayed because it looks like you're treating them in a way opposite from what you promised you'd do. So beware of telling people, I love you, I'll never tell you, I'll always be there no matter what, I just, you know, can you pick your toes at the table, I still love you. You know, whatever you do, I love. Whatever you do, I love. I'll never get mad at you, honey. I'll never, you can always depend on me. I'll never let you down. See, the minute that person makes an error, which they're going to do, then you feel betrayed and you get upset and you get mad and you don't want to believe them anymore. You don't want to trust them anymore. It's much better that from the very beginning to just, you know, just say, hey, you know, I want to love you. I have a desire to love you like I've never had a desire to love anybody in my life. If there ever was anybody I wanted to practice this cool stuff on, it's you. But let me tell you, I don't know how to do it yet. I want to work on it with you. I want to give it to you. What about you? You want to set this goal together? That we two insane people that want to go to insanity together, because we know we learned some insane lessons, because we're in a world where everybody's in fear of each other and conflict with each other for the most part. So something got to be wrong. So some people go, you know, I'm tired of this crazy world where it looks like people don't like each other and don't treat each other right and don't like each other, you know, and broken into by periods where you go to a movie or a game. I want some real love. I want the real deal. And when you say that, then this universe sends you people who need you just the way you are in order for them to grow. That way, the more you are yourself, the more they love you, because the way you are is what they need. You being exactly the way you are. But you can't choose them. They have to be sent to you. And then you have to be conscious enough to recognize them when they show up. And the way you can recognize them when they show up is that they love you the way you are. They go, whoa, you cool, just the way you are. Just matter of fact, I just want to receive more of what you are. That's how you can recognize them. Not somebody saying, you just need to change. You can just change this little thing right over here. I can really give you something. If you just alter that, you just change this one. Soon as you're different, I'll be happy. You know, it's like, I know when I'm talking to a person that's not sent to me by God, because they're going to tell me something like that. I don't have to know. It's not all the mysticism. God, but do you love yourself enough to be willing to have somebody in your life that, you know, like this movie said, you know, God loves you the way you are, but loves you too much to let you stay that way.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the coolest statements I ever heard. It was in this movie. God loves you the way you are, but God also loves you too much to let you stay that way. Yeah, because maybe the way you are right now isn't as great as you could possibly be. So, yeah, I love you the way you are, but I'm also going to try to be a means for you to grow into something even better within yourself. That's what my purpose is. My purpose is not to get you to act out my fantasies, because I tried that. And what I found about that is people, even the ones who want to, will only do it for so long. And then they'll stop if they're not getting what they want.
God, you're so good.
This life experience that everybody in this room is also here to know, but nothing like this book like puts it out. The Course says that our way of thinking seems to make sense until somebody says it back to us. And then right? And then when you hear it, you go, what the hell? But then you realize that's really the way people think. Because as long as you hear little bits and pieces of it, it'll make sense to you. The thoughts of the world make sense to you as long as you do little bits and pieces. But of course, when you put it all together, it's totally insane. Now, then it says something that's even more radical. It says, don't try to understand it. Don't try to understand insanity. Because if you can understand it, it says, then you'll begin to appreciate it. And if you can start appreciating insanity, then you'll start drawing it to you. I used to want to really understand people when they were most insane.
I do that too.
It's like, I really want to understand you. And I didn't realize that understanding meant acceptance. That understand just means I accept. Okay. So if I'm going to forgive you, I got to realize you have some distorted self-concepts about yourself, and because of those distorted self-concepts, you may do something that's very unloving. But I have to remember that your self-concept is not you. If I want to plug into the part of a person that will bring me peace, I have to start to want to focus on the part of that person that wants peace.
Oh, that's good.
You know? Okay. Now,
I wish you'd start a company called Couples Counseling.
Hey, I do couples counseling all the time right now. You know? And I'm good.
I know that.
I'm so good that people don't come back.
I know.
Because people that are sent to me by God cannot have a session with me and walk away from that session not knowing exactly what's going on. Now, whether or not they want to use the information they've been given or not is up to them. But they can't pretend that they don't understand, which was their excuse for not doing it in the first place. It was a mystery. But the ones you see clearly what you're doing, then you have to just admit you just don't want to do it if you do. But as long as you make it complex, you can stall around and not really be doing anything, but think you're doing great things. That's why people love complex spiritual truths. Because while you're trying to understand all that complex spiritual truth, you're not really doing nothing. So it stays, your ego feels cool. He says, that's right, go to that class tonight. Isn't that fun? You know. But it's not until you start using the ideas that you see that they're true. But what happens is some level of disorientation, because the old is going away and the new is coming. And if you're not going through that from time to time, I would like to suggest that you're not really changing. But don't be afraid. You're not going to be lifted up and hurled into reality. Time is kind. It'll keep real.
What was that?
I know. Wasn't that a trip?
Yeah, I know.
Time is kind. See, I speak Southern Black. So all of you all are really communicating with me through telepathy. You don't understand a word I'm saying. Southern roll. Okay. Time is kind. It'll keep gentle pace with you in your transition.
Yeah. That's for sure.
It's just important that you let go of your fixed position and where you are right now. By saying, I reached my limit, there must be a better way.
Gosh.
The only reason why Spirit makes us aware of our problems or what's not cool about us is to bring to our awareness the need to change. But once you get the awareness that you need to let go of that, then you're not supposed to focus on your errors anymore. You only need to see your error long enough to know that it needs to be corrected. It wasn't meant to be dwelled on and analyzed for 30 years.
24.
Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It was just to bring to your awareness that immediate correction is needed.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm telling you, yeah, right. Because as your spiritual power awakens, you won't be able to tolerate minor intrusions of discomfort as well as you used to. So you'll find that you can't stand not feeling peaceful. And you won't be patient in your suffering anymore. Okay. All right.
Keep talking.
Okay, here we go. Okay, the next paragraph. Okay, no. I'm not finished. I got two more sentences in there. Oh, it's just 1:35?
Yeah.
How did I was praying it was 2 o'clock? I can tell you.
No, I'm glad.
Anybody glad? Okay.
I'm praying with you.
Well, from time to time, if it's really hot and the vibe is really flowing, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to still end it at 1 o'clock, but I'm also going to say anybody that want to stay long, I'm going to stick around long and talk a little bit more. So that's going to happen from time to time because everybody's not ready to stop at 1 o'clock. Some people, I think, is getting warmed up, like me.
Can you stay till 8 or 9?
Only if I really feel like it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I don't want you to sacrifice nothing.
See what I'm saying? See what she said? Of course, I don't want you to sacrifice anything. See, that's how you can tell when you're listening to the Holy Spirit. If you want a practical example. You're listening to the Holy Spirit and someone says, of course, I wouldn't want you to sacrifice. I wouldn't want you to do something you didn't want to do for me. This is what I would love. This is what I prefer. This is what I dream about. But if you don't want to do it, I'm not going to crucify you for that because I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do. But don't stop me from having it fulfilled with who will. See, that's the part of people don't like. I want to deny it to you, but I don't want nobody else to fulfill that need either. But that's another class that I ain't getting to today.
Right,
that's right. I want to have some couple of people coming. It's some things you just don't talk about. Even though you know they're true, you don't even go there, you know. Okay, so we love another person in order to get something ourselves. So I'm going to love you in order to get something for myself. And as a matter of fact, loving you so that I can get some need met is what passes for love in this world. Getting together so you can meet some need I have, that's what we call love, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, he said, there can be no greater mistake than what? Trying to get something from somebody else because you think it's lacking in yourself. He says, because if it was really love, it would be incapable of asking anything. If it was really love, I would just be giving and I'd just be freeing or I'd just be preferring, but I surely wouldn't be demanding. If I love you, I might ask. If I love you, I might, you know. In fact, if I love you, I'm going to communicate every need, every desire, and every thought that I have with you. How else will I even know whether it's natural for you to even fulfill it? If you don't know I even have the desire, but what I've got to do is let go of my attachment to you fulfilling it so that I won't have a grievance against you when you don't do it. But if I don't let you know, I don't even know, you know. So many times you're with people in relationships, especially romantic relationships, and you're trying to be loving and all romantic with each other, and you're trying to figure out what parts to touch, you know, what parts to kiss or what parts to hold. You know, you're trying to be loving with each other. You just wish the person would say, it's my eyebrow. If you roll my eyebrow, you get everything you want.
Yeah.
You know, just wish they just go, eyebrow, buddy. You know, but... You know, I'm just being real. I know it freaks adults out when I talk like an adult because most of us are not used to that in spiritual classes. You know? Okay. I know. It's a certain way you're supposed to talk in church. Okay. That's why people don't want to go. They don't feel free. I feel like they got to come to church and look a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way. When you come to my class, I only ask that you be yourself. If you become obnoxious enough, I will call the police. The popo. The popo. I get them to haul you away, and I look past my distorted concept of you later. I promise I will the night I meditate about you. Even as you try to get your bond, you know what I'm saying? I'll be praying for you to get the bond. Okay. So, don't forget, sometimes separation is the best thing you can do to maintain your peace. Because you're separating to heal. Sometimes I need to get back away from you so I can change my mind about you. I can't do it right up on you because my perception of you is so distorted. And when I look at you, it reminds me of everything that I'm misperceiving you about. Okay. Now, this next paragraph is a trip. Because, of course, you know, we think the body's joined. And the truth is, if you really join with somebody, you couldn't disconnect. So you never join anybody with your body.
That's not good news.
Who's not happy about that? How many people? Anybody is not happy about thinking
well,
that they should. But think about it though. Think about it for a minute. You never really connect at the body level. He says you don't. You never really connect. You never really connect physically. Okay? I'm gonna say it again. You have never physically connected to anybody. You've gotten excruciatingly close. You may have gotten as close as your body could get to another person's body without causing damage to your internal organs. But
that is so true, though.
But you never joined anybody physically. So all the guilt that you have around your body in its past, you need to let it go.
You weren't connected anyway. Huh?
You weren't connected physically.
Yeah, physically.
Physically. And I'm not putting down physical connection. I'm just letting you know that you really join when you join in the mind.
Yeah.
And if it's really love that's joined you together, then nobody can put that asunder. Nobody. You don't have to worry about jealousy. Because if you really join minds and you've joined in love, then nobody can take that away from you. No one can injure that relationship.
So great, wouldn't it?
It's having being jealous and being in love and from a core perspective are totally mutually exclusive. You cannot be jealous and be experiencing love because love would take away any sense of fear of loss. So you would be incapable of being jealous with someone you loved, but you're very capable of being jealous with someone you're trying to use to fulfill a need that you're afraid they might feel for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you're right. Jealousy makes a lot of sense because I'm still about half full. You haven't filled my tank up yet. Sorry. That gas is for me, all of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my private pump. You know what I'm saying?
Private pump.
Oh, my private pump. That's right. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're the person that's supposed to fulfill this missing part of me. And I don't want anybody else to know you or be close to you because, you know, that's taken away from me. That love you're giving them and the attention you're giving them, that's some attention you could have been giving me. That's why I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't even think I exist unless somebody else lets me know.
God, that's good.
So I need you to remind me that I'm valuable and that I exist. And the Court says, all right, we'll just call that a holy relationship. Just flip it. That's cool. Join with someone who will tell you you're totally valuable and you're totally loved. While you're in the process of letting go of all your distorted concepts that block you already knowing you're already loved. You follow me?
Yeah.
So while you're telling me, while I'm telling you I love you, you're also doing the inner work necessary to know that you're loved without needing me to tell you that. That way you got it covered from both ends. So if you do think you need someone to tell you that, then just make sure you join with someone who will tell you that and not what's wrong with you, what they don't like about you, what's lacking in you all the time. Because even someone who loves you could say something like that and you take it in the right spirit because you know they're not trying to say the thing that hurt you. It just might need to be something you need to be aware of. See what I'm saying? Because see, my personal definition of love is unlimited communication without fear.
Oh, gosh.
So to me, I don't love a person until I feel unlimited communication happening within me without fear. But if I find myself getting ready to say something and I find myself holding back, I know I'm not letting love for that person happen yet, and I still got some things I need to do within myself. Because I'm the one that's not trusting.
That's good. Unlimited communication.
Okay, and so the only reason why I wouldn't tell that person the truth is because I thought I had something to lose. And the only reason why I would think I had something to lose is if I thought I needed them to fulfill some need in me. So I could never be honest with a person I think I need for my survival. Notice how people will tell you everything they ever thought about you when they're ready to leave you. They don't have nothing else to lose. They don't have nothing else to lose. They'll tell you everything about that. And I didn't like this, and I didn't like that, and this is what I really thought, because they don't need you. If you want to, you want somebody to be honest with you, they have to not need you.
Yeah.
You think you think all those people around Michael Jackson couldn't have told him sooner not to sleep with little boys, whether he was doing anything with them or not? Of course they didn't. Why? Probably at the level of the world, they needed that job.
Yeah.
But if you don't need something because you feel whole, then you get more and more honest. And the other way you would know is that if you're in a holy relationship, then you're in a relationship with somebody who wants to practice with you communicating what you fear without attacking each other. Like me and a friend of mine, whenever we really wanted to get really real with each other, we would say to each other, what would you say to me right now if you weren't afraid to?
Oh,
and it was like, bam, we would say the thing like, woo, you know, it'd be a trip. It's like, what would I tell you right now if I wasn't afraid? Wow. And then we would go for it. And it would be amazing how strong our relationship came. That's what I'd say if I wasn't afraid. But you already let them know you got some fear of loss, because that's what you'd say if you wasn't afraid. And so nothing feels more satisfying than to say the thing that's most frightening to you to a person about them, and they don't attack you and they only have peace with you. It convinces you that their relationship is real at a level that blows your mind. And you're never the same. The relationship is close. Then your minds join. Because y'all have the same purpose with each other's peace. And I'm going to tell you, it's no way you with somebody that your mind and your heart is joined with and you're communicating without fear with, and you're not going to have passion, you're not going to have enthusiasm, you're not going to have excitement, you're not going to have desire. You don't have to worry about what your body is going to do.
Can you do this with a regular person?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, everything I'm saying could be done with anybody.
That's
a good question, because people think I'm always talking about romantic relationships, and I'm talking about any relationship. What I'm saying, when you talk about joining minds, then you don't have to worry about being arrested.
Yeah. Okay. Because I don't want to have sex with my boss.
And I'll tell you something, anytime your mind tells you that you have to do something that you don't really want to do, that's your first clue that what you're listening to isn't true for you. At least if she had wanted to, then she wouldn't have felt frightened. She would have felt excited.
Well, it's a lady.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying if it's something you want to do, you move toward it. If it's something you love, you move toward it. If it's something you really love, you're not afraid of it.
If it's something you're afraid of,
you move away from. But the ego tells us that you can be afraid of somebody and love them. But you either express in love or you express in fear in any given moment. I'm either letting love come through me, or I'm letting fear come through me. I'm letting love come through me, I'm letting fear come. So in the conversation, I might be going, depending on what you say, I love that, but don't like that, like that, but don't like. You see how we do that?
Yeah.
But we don't know what we're doing is letting love and fear, love and fear, love and fear. And when you become conscious, you just want to create more spaces that all it is love. The only thing you're letting in is love. The only thing you're getting out is love. And it becomes easier as you go along, because you start attracting more and more people to you that's easy for you to love, and it becomes more and more effortless. So the hardest part is the beginning, because that's when you see how much your goal is opposite to your present circumstance. You know, I want to be totally loving, and I'm like, oh my God, how can I possibly do it with the people that's around me right now? That's stage one. You realize what you want, and at the same time, you see how inappropriate you are for meeting that goal. And that's when you have to realize that just in the Holy Spirit, your God self, your higher self, your sane mind starts to try to function as fast as it possibly can, because you finally giving it an opening to let it do its thing. And you start to see another part of your mind take over that only wants to heal you. And you think that you're having this miraculous experience of everything in your life seeming to go better, and you don't know why. you finally are letting the part of you that loves you start to do its thing. And the way you know it's there is by its results and its effects, because it's invisible. And that's how you become aware of the invisible, is by its effects. So all learning is invisible. So you only know the result of your learning through the effect of it. So that's how you know whether or not you're getting this or not. It's by the effects that you are experiencing in your perception, in your reality. And if you're seeing more loving people in your life now than ever before, then you're getting past your own distorted self-concepts, and you're recognizing the love that you are and the power that you are and the beauty that you are better than you've ever done it in your life. Everybody might not be cool, but you know there are more cool people than it used to be. So that means you're letting your own invisible love for yourself start to give you the results that you want.
I could just listen to you every day.
Well, I got CDs available.
I got that sucker check with me.
That's right. So it is possible.
It is possible.
It is possible to have me with you at all times. Anybody in here?
And you think I'm
especially on a Sunday morning after a Saturday night. You want to pop me right on the player. You know, depending on how hard you was partying the night before, you might need to be convinced of your innocence. Right after the weekend, you know. And I will, for a price, I'll make a CD to order. You tell me what specific thing you need to feel innocent about. And I'll tell you just how innocent. You were innocent. You were innocent. The kangaroo wanted it too. You know, so it doesn't matter. You know, you're totally, you know, you're not your body. It's a great, I'm telling you, for those who begin to get that it's all about remembering and not analyzing, then the journey becomes a lot easier. If you're a person that thinks you got to understand the unknown, it's going to be a long, slow trip for you. But if you're the kind of person that knows it's about remembering that you're not what you think you are, and that you're more than you've been taught, then the journey is going to be easy. Because then you're going to start hearing a lot of great ideas about you, and you realize that your only role is to share that idea, listen to that idea, accept that idea. That understanding is accepting. When you were a kid and they said 1 and 1 was 2, you just accepted that, and therefore it was learned. See, so learning is understanding is accepting. So I need people that's going to remind me of who I really am. Okay.
That's what I like about you the best.
What's that?
That you remind me who I am.
Yeah, I'm an official reminder.
I know.
Yeah. So people avoid me. So people avoid me when they don't want to be reminded of their innocence, and they need to feel guilty in order to feel better.
You just won't let them feel guilty. I know that.
No, and people believe there's value in guilt and innocence. So when they want to feel guilty, they avoid me. And that's a trip.
That's good trip. News.
Yeah. When people want to feel guilty, they don't even know me no more. They forget they even knew me. I don't even exist to them anymore. I'm so opposite to the way they think about themselves. It's like I never existed. It's deep.
It's real deep.
Yeah. So take a deep breath right now. I'm going to bring it in. You know something? There must be a part of us that really wants this, because it was strong enough to bring us here, even though it can be so opposite to what a part of our mind believes. So I believe we're stronger than we think we are. I think we're cooler than we think we are. I think you're awesome.
Thank you.
I think you're awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it. I thank you for your correct perception of me.
You can't see it.
I'm thoroughly pleased when people see me correctly, and I'm so thankful I know the difference. You know, that's all right, honey, you're just not seeing me correctly. That's okay. And they want to kill you for real when you say something like that. Because grown people try to convince themselves that they know what's going on by their judgments and interpretations of what they see. So we judge things because we're trying to convince ourselves we know what's going on, because it's too frightening to think we don't. So we think without judgment, we're not safe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's deep. So I'm going to do the love offering, and I really appreciate you sharing with me in my full-time ministry with the Course in Miracles, and those of you who share money, I especially love you. And those who don't, I especially love you. Because it's not about the money, ultimately. And I know that. So you're always welcome to anything I do, whether you have money or not.
Except for workshop.
Workshop. I'm kidding, I'm going off. Yeah, I got a workshop that's coming up for singles in September. Stephanie and I are working on it right now. It's for singles.
24.
It's going to be around the 24th. It's a Saturday in September. And so I'll tell you more about it. We can hear, you know, but it's going to be awesome.
Earl, are you still doing your TV show?
It's coming. Yes, it'll come on twice a week. It comes on 9:30 on Tuesday nights on Channel 58, and 4:30 on Saturday on Channel 58. If you're in Denver, on Denver Public Cable Television.
You, would you mind
having a plug,
please?
You know, I like the way, like, you see how kind of mellow everybody is right now. That, the truth can be pretty sobering. And before I finish up, Wednesday 12 noon, a really cute part of you. So picture yourself riding this jet on into the DIA. Remember, the world that you're going to see this week is going to be a reflection of your own internal frame of reference. This week is going to be a reflection of the ideas, the wishes, the emotions, and the feelings that you have. So project love ahead of you. 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 Remember, I send peace ahead of myself this week. I send love ahead this week. I just look within myself, and I'm deciding to see abundance this week. I'm looking inside of myself, and I'm deciding to see peace this week. Tell yourself what you've decided to see this week. Yourself projecting it out into your world. Pretend it's like a ball in your hand, like a baseball. And label that baseball the most totally fulfilling week that I can allow myself to receive. Squeeze that ball real tight in your hand, and I want to see you in your mind projecting out into your world this week. You can walk through
So now we're taxing them in. Now, don't get up until the jet of happiness makes a complete stop. Take you in. Remember, you are more than you think you are.
Lift your voice and let the spirit soar.
May the course be with you. Plugs are available. I'll see you next week, and you can order that CD too. But you're going to do it. You're going to project the week you want out. So take them. It's okay. Just get up as slowly as you like.
Here, thank you so much.